Log Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo.
And we're here tonight to bring you some news and to also bring you an interview. And I'm not sure which one Leo has decided to do.
Well, we're going to do Rosalind Peterson that we did last night on our FM show because the information is extremely important.
And she is CaliforniaSkywatch.com, and she keeps track of chemtrails and other environmental issues, and she's right up to date on all of her information. And we had a really good interview with her last night. And Rosalind's been on our FM show several times, and we've appreciated having her on because she's so knowledgeable in the area of the environment and what's happening.
And this interview that we have tonight with her is regarding the weapons testing in Idaho, California, Washington State, and Oregon.
It's not in Nevada.
No, supposed to be in Nevada, but it's not. You have California, Idaho, and Oregon and Washington.
Actually, I can tell you right away. I'm looking right at it.
I just said it.
Yeah. Okay. And the Pacific Ocean.
Right. And we're going to be discussing that tonight with this interview. And it's quite important because it's that nobody really was notified of it. She found out about it through a contact in the department on the 17th of this month. And, you know, no word really publicly has really been mentioned about it, except in where Oregon took serious offense to it and protested on that and got an extension of public hearing.
Seems like none of the
people have been talking out
representatives
about,
know anything about it.
About Zionism and about what the Israelis are doing.
So she fortunately is trying to get the word out and trying to she's going to a public hearing and she's going to try to get the word out to the public about this so a lot of this can be stopped. And so that interview will be on probably about 8:30. I just wanted to bring you a little bit of news before that. Let me see what would be a good thing to read to you. The other thing, we also had a very good. A friend of ours who lives out here in our area, she let me just finish what I'm saying.
Right.
She also is an excellent resource for us. She keeps up with what is happening with Palestine and the Palestinians, and she brought to our attention the termination by Bard College of one of its professors because he was an outspoken against Zionism. Not Judaism, Zionism, the geopolitical movement. So people have to be very clear about that. And Leo has just pointed something out to me here.
Can you read that? Is it too far away for you? What is it? The U.S. Energy Department cannot account for nuclear materials at 15 locations. This is news from yesterday, but
they lose some rods again?
Yeah, no, they lost some real stuff, and they didn't account for it. And it's NTI is the website to find this. Let's see here.
In what area did they lose it?
They lost it in, I'll read it. Number of U.S. Institutions with licenses to hold nuclear material reported to the Energy Department in 2004 that the amount of material they held was less than the agency records indicated. But rather than investigating the discrepancies, energy officials wrote off significant quantities of nuclear material from the department's inventory records. That's just one of the findings of a report released yesterday by the Energy Department Inspector General Gregory Friedman that concluded the department could not properly account for the effective management or manage or effectively manage its nuclear materials maintained by domestic licensees and may be unable to detect lost or stolen material. Auditors found that energy could not accurately account for the quantities and locations of nuclear material at 15 out of 40, or 37% of the facilities reviewed. The materials written off included 20,580 grams of enriched uranium, 45 grams of plutonium, 5,001 kilograms of normal uranium, and 189,139 kilograms of depleted uranium. So all this stuff is available to make bombs with, folks.
Yeah, it's all radioactive.
Considering the potential health risks associated with these materials and the potential for misuse should they fall into the wrong hands, the quantities written off were significant, the report said. Even in small quantities normally held by individual domestic licensees, special nuclear materials such as enriched uranium and plutonium, if not properly handled, potentially pose serious health hazards. And authors also found that waste processing facilities could not locate or explain the whereabouts of significant quantities of uranium and other nuclear material that Energy Department records showed they held. In another case, energy officials had no record of the fact that one academic institution had loaned a 32-gram plutonium beryllium source to another institution. The audit was a follow-up to a 2001 probe that found similar records-keeping problems. Key commitments made at the department were not completed nearly 8 years after our earlier audit, Friedman reported. More than 100 academic and commercial institutions and government agencies leased nuclear material that are owned by Energy, and I assume the Energy Department. The department along with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, is supposed to track these materials through the centralized accounting system known as the Nuclear Materials Management and Safeguard System.
I guess it doesn't work.
Yeah. And due to the inconsistencies documented in our report, it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the departments to accurately identify the types and quantities of this nuclear materials affected if an incident occurred at one of the sites whose inventory we could not verify. And the Inspector General stated in Monday's report, in a written response to the report, Glenn Podolsky, the Chief Health, Safety, and Security Officer at Energy, largely concurred with the findings and recommendations for improving inventory records. So they're lost. I mean, 15 locations are lost to some serious nuclear stuff. I mean, they waste products and stuff.
Well, they had misplaced some rods, if you remember, a few years ago, and then nothing ever was said anymore about that.
Yeah.
This is from the Associated Press, U.S. official, Gaza reconstruction aid to top $900 million. The United States aid for the Gaza Strip's reconstruction will likely top $900 million, an official said, as U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton prepared to make her first Mideast trip as America's top diplomat. Israeli and Palestinian officials said Monday that Clinton will visit Israel and the West Bank during the first week of March. Clinton said during her Asia trip last week that she would attend an international donors conference in Egypt on March 2nd to discuss reconstruction in the Gaza. She provided no other details, but a U.S. official in the United States said Monday that the Obama administration's donation will be at least $900 million in humanitarian and rebuilding aid to the Palestinian Authority to help the Gaza recover from Israel's offensive against Hamas last month. The official who spoke on condition of anonymity because the donation had not received final approval said the exact amount was still to be determined. The official added that the aid will not go to Hamas. The U.S. recognizes the West Bank government of the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and has no formal contacts with the Islamic militant group Hamas, which runs a separate Palestinian administration in the Gaza Strip. The Israeli officials, meanwhile, said Clinton will arrive in Israel on March 2nd for meetings with the country's top leaders. Israel is currently ruled by a caretaker government, as Likud party leader Benjamin Netanyahu cobbles together a new coalition. The Israeli official spoke on condition of anonymity because the visit had not yet been announced by the State Department, which has not released Clinton's schedule for next week. Yasser Abed Rabo, a senior aide to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, said Clinton would also visit the West Bank during her stay. On Tuesday, Abbas said a new national unity government that includes rival Hamas must be in place and internationally recognized as part of a managing humanitarian aid for the Gaza and elsewhere. Reconciliation talks are scheduled to begin in Egypt later this week because between Hamas and Abbas's Fatah movement. Past efforts to form a unity government have failed. Abbas said one reason was that key powers, including Israel and the United States, refused to accept a coalition that included Hamas. This new unity government must have acceptance and recognition of all parties, said Abbas, who appeared at a brief news conference in Oslo with Norwegian Prime Minister Jan Stoltenberg. Okay, so $900 million, and we don't have any money.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Can I just...
Yeah, just X that out.
X that out. Okay. Switchboard.
There we are. Okay, let's go.
A new global media competitor rises. This is a really important article, too.
Okay, you can read that.
A new global media competitor arises, and this is really important. This is from Jim Hightower. And with so many of America's newspapers and broadcast empires closing, news bureaus cutting coverage, firing reporters, and even going out of business entirely, it's good to hear that there are a few journalistic enterprises that are investing in more reporters, news facilities, and greater outreach to the news-hungry public. Unfortunately, these enterprises are not American. They are Chinese. In a concerted push, the biggest state-controlled media outlets in China are allocating billions of dollars to expand their reach overseas. They're buying international broadcast equipment, opening more foreign bureaus, hiring international media specialists, and providing more extensive coverage in English and other languages. For example, China Central TV, known as CCTV, already broadcasts in English, Spanish, and French, and has opened a new state-of-the-art broadcast facility in Beijing. Also, Xuanhua, Chinese state-run agency, is getting a license for 24-hour news channel that, like CNN and Al Jazeera, will have correspondents stationed around the globe and will broadcast in English, including in the U.S. and Europe. Chinese leaders say they have grown increasingly frustrated by what they see as biased, distorted, and negative coverage of China by Western media, so they intend to deliver their own coverage. That's pretty smart. China's propaganda director calls this effort an urgent strategic task. He says that China will make its communication capability match international status. He then added this thought. In this modern era, who gained the advanced communication skills, the powerful communication capability, and whose culture and value is more widely spread, is able to more effectively influence the world? He is, of course, right about that. So, how is it in America's national interest for our media barons to be cutting back while others are expanding? Good question.
Okay. Thanks, Layla. And we have this interview with Rosalind Peterson. It's about 35 minutes. But there's an article that Layla, I'll spare Layla from reading it again, but there's an article that she'll be reading regarding the what prompted my interview with Rosalind Peterson, which was her letter of warning, basically, to everyone that this is what was going to happen, and her reaction and her request to the federal government for, based on a Freedom of Information Act, to find out what weapons testing will be conducted in these areas, and what kind of chemicals, what kind of things will be sprayed, and how many people will be affected by this, and basically why the hell it was even allowed. And, you know, Feinstein, and you know, she's from California, but Rosalind is also CaliforniaSkywatch.com is her website. And you know, she's quite upset with the with Feinstein and Barbara Boxer.
Yeah.
And who seem to have allowed this to happen, as well as
don't seem to be concerned at all.
Concerned, as well as you know, Idaho hasn't even been made aware of it, and no public announcement at all has been made in Idaho, and Washington State and Oregon are really the two most vocal of the areas, because the Californians aren't even aware of it.
Well, the Navy has failed to place anything in newspapers or to inform the elected representatives about the program.
Right, but some are. In fact, Weinstein there, Feinstein rather, she's the, well, I don't know if she's the chairman. I think she's the chairman of the Defense Committee or something, the Armed Forces Committee or something.
Uh-huh.
But so she should know that. I'm sure she's aware of this.
Rosalind's upset because the U.S. Navy.
Well, wait, let I have you on reading this.
Oh, letter. You do. Oh, okay.
So I think it'll be all right. Okay. So we'll be back right after this interview, and we have this recorded reading by Lila of the actual letter, and I hope you enjoy.
The training range complex in the state of Washington should be expanded and have devised a draft environmental impact statement, an EIS, dated December 2008 for public review and comment. The expansion of their area of operation will include all of the state of Washington, all of the state of Oregon, part of the state of Idaho, and Northern California. This area will also include large areas of the Pacific Ocean from California to the state of Washington. The U.S. commander of the Pacific Fleet has given American citizens and residents of these states only a very short time to comment on their EIS, published on December 30, 2008, with a final public comment deadline extended to March 11, 2009. This document is approximately 1,000 plus or minus pages in length with attachments. In addition to a short comment time, the Navy limited public hearings to 5, with only one held in Oregon and one held in California, and no hearings scheduled to be held in Idaho. The Navy has allegedly failed to place information about EIS in major newspapers or to inform our elected representatives about this program. Thus, citizens in California, Oregon, Idaho, and Washington are asking for a realistic extension of time to read and study this document. The U.S. Navy, the U.S. Department of Defense, and the commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet have decided without our consent that they are going to use the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California, Oregon, and Washington and the land over 4 states to test weapons of war. They did not contact Senator Harry Reid of Nevada to obtain permission to use the Nevada test site for these warfare experiments. Instead, they decided to use public lands, the Pacific Ocean, private property, wildlife, and humans are test subjects for warfare testing in these 4 states. The Navy has also decided to contaminate our air, water, and soil with the chemicals used in these programs. They failed to list many of the chemicals that are to be used. Thus, under the Freedom of Information Act, I am requesting a complete list of all chemicals that will be used during these testing programs. It's easy for the Navy EIS to state that they can mitigate for such toxic usage, but fail to disclose a complete listing of said chemicals. Also, copies of contamination studies conducted at other military test sites where contamination problems were found and at bases like Fallon Air Force Base should be made public. There is a short listing of hazardous materials, air pollutants, and pollutants from munitions, expended materials, and radioactive materials to be used in this project. I am requesting a complete listing of all chemicals that will be used by the Navy and Air Force and any other branch of the Department of Defense in this project. Inshore and offshore detonations may or may not be considered hazardous. However, until a complete listing of these chemicals is provided to the public, there can be no public discussion of their hazard to public health, marine life, wildlife, public drinking, water sources, or our oceans. The avoidance of making this specific list public leads one to believe that these hazardous materials and chemicals are toxic and do pose environmental hazards. And this is what she says at the end. I am requesting that the state of California be excluded from this Navy project. Citizens in all four states should say no to this proposed project and others like it. Contact your elected representatives today and let them know how you feel about this project. We are appealing to Congressman Mike Thompson, Senators Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein to delay this TROP project and allow more time for public comment and hold hearings in Mendocino County and hold hearings in the Northern California counties. I have one more page here. And, oh, the reason I can't find it is because Leo has it. Let's see what it says on there. Oh. And let me just read some of the questions that she wants answered. She's saying, will aluminum-coated fiberglass be used? And how many pounds will be released? What are the health effects of chaff particulates on humans and wildlife, soil, and water? Will weather modification and mitigation programs be initiated during the Navy program? So Rosalyn has some very pertinent questions to ask, and I hope that she gets the answers to them. I think she's with us. Good evening, Rosalyn. How are you?
I'm fine, and how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. We're glad you could be on the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being on your show.
Oh, good. And we were just reading your letter to about the United States Navy and the Department of Defense and what they plan to do to four states in the Pacific Ocean.
It's absolutely frightening, and we're just amazed that they haven't contacted anybody, or nobody in Congress knows about it. Is that correct?
Well, they know about it now because the citizens of California, Oregon, Idaho, and Washington have all been making their voices heard more recently. And what we're discovering is that we think that the Navy was duplicitous in its getting the environmental impact statement out because they never notified any of the major media to go out and let people know that there were going to be hearings. So the press was totally uninformed, and even though the environmental impact statement said that they had notified our elected officials, I'm not always sure that that is the case.
Really? So do you think you're going to get some answers to your questions about what is really in this plan? What are they intending to drop on us or on those four states?
Well, they've moved their nuclear submarines apparently into the coastal waters off of Oregon.
Oh.
In preparation for this, and they've been doing some programs already in Oregon and Washington, but now they're going to extend it over the entire state to test on the entire population for these states, all the way down Northern California to the San Francisco Bay Area is under this particular jurisdiction. And the Navy and the Department of Defense have decided that they're above the will of the people of these states and that they're going to conduct these warfare experiments as what they are. And they're going to be bombing the Pacific Ocean. There's going to be detonations. There's going to be missile tests. They're going to be using depleted uranium, according to the environmental impact statement. They're going to be using white and red phosphorus,
which,
if it touches your skin, can just burn. It'll keep burning your skin. It's like being cremated, essentially.
They're going to do this to the people in these four states? They're going to actually drop these kind of bombs on the people in these four states?
Well, they're not going to drop the bombs on the people, but what they're going to do is they're going to use this type of ordnance in their warfare games and testing new warfare systems. So they're going to be using the sonar, which will cause harm to our migrating whales. They're going to, the bomb detonations on the bottom of this marine sanctuaries and other areas, sensitive marine areas, is going to destroy those areas totally. We've got the poorest salmon population run in the history of California this year, and these are fish and all of the other species that migrate can't withstand this type of warfare testing. When they get inland, they said, well, we're going to do sonic booms over the population, which in many years, the Air Force tried this many years ago, and we got it to stop because it was cracking the walls and the foundations of the houses. The booms were so bad. So the Air Force stopped that program when the citizens protested. But this time, I think that the Department of Defense and the Obama administration and the Navy all intend to go through with this. We are expendable. And what I'm going to tell everyone that's listening is, if they find that we are expendable, then when they decide to test on you and do their environmental impact statement and start their tests on anyone in the United States, you're going to be helpless in the wave of being exposed to these chemicals. They're going to do electronic warfare testing.
What does that
mean? Also going, it's in the EIS, but they're also going to be doing surveillance. And this is for warfare weapons of the future and testing current weapons.
Yeah. So, is Obama, I mean, Obama's only been around for about 3 weeks here, or 4 weeks. Now, do you think he's approved this?
I don't know if he's approved it, or I'm not sure that he even knows about it, but you see, if the press won't, mainstream media won't cover it, our elected officials certainly aren't going to tell him.
But the, I would
unless
think that...
Unless we can reach out and say, look, are you going to allow the United States military to test on our natural resources here and on, you know, and over human populations?
It sounds like these people
I'm incredulous that not one major media news story will cover this. None.
Wow. Wow.
Have you tried to release it to them, and you've gotten no?
Well, they, you know, you can, you know, I've called CNN. Other people have called CNN. I called all of the local TV stations, Channel 2, 4, 7, ABC, you know, all the stations. They all tell me that they're shorthanded and they don't have time to do an in-depth story. They'll look into it, but then there's nothing.
Yeah.
So we've been totally, I mean, packets have been sent everywhere, and we have essentially been told that we're expendable.
Well, it sounds to me like they're revving up the Global 2000 program here. I mean, if they're going to start doing that in those four states,
I can't imagine what they have in store for the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, in that Global 2000 report that was issued by Jimmy Carter and then signed off by Ronald Reagan,
mm-hmm.
All right, they anticipated 100 million people to be, I mean, they wanted to reduce the population of the United States by 100 million people by 2020. And that's right in that report. You can Google it up. You can see the authentic signatures. I mean, everything there. I mean, this is what was recommended. And you know, it sounds like they're working on it, doesn't it, Rosalind?
Well, I don't know. I've never read that report. I have to look at it for myself.
You got to read it. It's absolutely god awful frightening. And when you think that Henry Kissinger had his fingerprints all over us.
Yeah.
You know, it's really got to, you know, got to send a shiver.
Got to tell you something.
Well, I can't see what reason that the military and the Department of Defense would start destroying our own natural resources along the Pacific Ocean and destroy, this is a food supply for many, many people, and I don't know why they would be engaged in this, and I found out by accident. I've only known since February 17th,
wow.
The day that... The 18th was the day that they were going to stop public comment, and Oregon citizens fought back so hard that they postponed it to March 11th for public comment. But if anyone wants to read a shocking document, that environmental impact statement is really awful.
Right. Now, how do they get hold of this document?
Yeah, where is that 1,000 pages? Is it on the Internet?
It's on the Internet, and it's www.NWTRANGECOMPLEXEIS.com.
God, they make it for certain that you're not going to remember that. You had to write that
I've been
down.
Saying it a lot.
Uh-huh.
If anyone, it's on my website.
We got it.
In case anyone wants to go to CaliforniaSkywatch.com, the links are on my website there, so they can read what I wrote for News with Views. And they can also, or they can go to News with Views. The links are there, too.
Okay.
And that's newswithviews.com.
So,
but they can go, you know, to several places, sources for that information.
Now, I noticed Idaho hasn't had any hearings. And are they going to have hearings, or are they... As other people aware of it, or what?
Well, after my letter to News with Views was published,
right.
All of a sudden 144 citizens immediately contacted the newspaper there and was demanding that they publish something and tell the people what was going on. I called the senator's offices, who didn't seem to know much about this at all. So I don't think that Idaho citizens, I guess, are expendable according to the Navy. They don't need any warning about what's going to happen over their skies.
Well, sounds like it. And my brother lives in Idaho. That's why I was.
You better warn him.
Yeah.
Well, I'll bet you anything that they didn't put a single announcement except in the smallest newspaper in the state, probably 1 inch by 1 inch, so that nobody would know that it was even going to take place. And you know what? I think that our senators here had to know about this program and decided that they weren't going to defend us, in other words, the citizens against and our marine life and et cetera, against these awful experiments.
Yeah.
So I hold them wholly responsible, Senator Boxer and Senator Feinstein. They're responsible for this one.
Well, what about
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Did you contact him?
Yes, the governor's office has been contacted, and I've also put I've also sent a letter to our attorney general, Jerry Brown, and I'm going to see if maybe he can intervene on our behalf here in Northern California for sure.
I would think Jerry Brown would be, you know, responsive to that.
Oh, I think he will be. Yeah. The problem for us has been getting the word out to everyone, because I think that other than a handful of people in Northern California, up way up in a small town in Eureka, I think that until someone who knew someone got a hold of me on the 17th, no one knew about this.
Wow.
I can guarantee you that I haven't talked to a single person that knew anything about this at all.
Yes.
Now, these chemicals and things, do you think they were going to be delivered aerosol-y through chemtrails by aerosol?
Well, first of all, I don't call these persistent jet contrails that are abnormal chemtrails. Second, I can't prove, even though I've been researching this for since 2002, I have no documents which tell me what is causing these plumes to persist. So the best I can do on those is that they are filled with jet fuel emissions, which are highly toxic according to the EPA. And NASA studies actually say that they are causing global warming because water vapor is a greenhouse gas and they exacerbate global warming. And also they change the climate. So I am fighting against that because that's some of the problems we're having here, I think, with climate and with being warmer is due to these jets leaving these persistent jet contrails. Now, the door is going to be open really badly if this plan goes through, because I think that whatever the military is now testing, they will open the doors and we will be hit very, very hard and have no recourse.
Well, we know for a fact through documents, upon documents, that they have done weapon testing on the American public for years.
Oh, that's correct.
That's known. And but
scary thought.
This is just diabolical. I mean, the whole thing is diabolical. It's just unconscionable, and it's just horrendous. I mean, if they're gonna do weapons testing, why don't they do it during when they're in war? You know what I mean?
Well, they've been testing weapons, according to Beeson, a man by the name of Beeson,
right,
who even wrote a book about it called The E-Bomb. It's the letter E and then B-O-M-B. He's from the Lawrence Livermore Lab, and he was talking about testing these weapon systems in Afghanistan and in Iraq. He made no bones about it right in the book.
Right. Yeah,
we
sure
know
they
that they've been testing over there since they started the war, but what I don't understand is why they have to test on us. And you know what's interesting about this Navy program? I think that this is the first time when they have declared war on our natural resources and on the citizens that they have announced it in the back. Usually it's fairly covert. And you find out after the fact, and I find it's interesting that we happen to find out before the fact.
Oh, you mean on this one? Yeah, on this particular one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
So how did you find out anyway?
Well, there was a man who went to a small meeting in Eureka, California, when the Navy held a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And this man told a friend in Mendocino County, who told another friend, who I happened to email on another issue, who sent me a one-line email. So I emailed this one person back, and I said, what Navy plan? And so he referred me to a talk show host in Philo who actually could give me the link. And once I had the link and put my hands on it on the 17th, then you know the rest of the story because I have gone after this practically 24/7. The EIS is almost 1,000 pages long.
Yeah.
And I had to stay up all night on the 17th to read it just so that I could figure out how to file even a public comment and write an article for News with Views. And then I had to get the word out because no one that I talked to, no one, even people who read and who are up on most things, never heard of it. At first they didn't think it was real.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. So there's a movement at this point, and what can we do ourselves? I mean, do we contact our own senators? Do we contact, what can we do to help those people out there?
Well, first of all, I think what you need to do is to contact as many media sources as you can with the story. In other words, calling our senators is good and giving them heck from California, Washington, Idaho, and Oregon.
Okay.
And also the public comment period for the environmental impact statement and where you can ask questions, raise objections, whatever. It's good to get to fill out their form and mail it in. The address is on their site, and to fill it in and send it in and protest. And also, all of you can demand public hearings, and because we need people across the United States. Because what happens is that if everyone doesn't protest this, in other words, we're giving up as the sacrifice this time, it won't be long before you're going to be sacrificed. And I think that we all have to say no, that we pay the taxes and that the Army and the Navy and the Department of Defense work for us and not vice versa. We're not their guinea pigs.
That's true.
So I have a free toll-free number to all of your elected representatives in Washington if you want it.
All right.
Okay.
Definitely.
It's 1-866-22-0-0-0-4-4.
1-866-22-0-0-0-4-4. Okay.
And you can dial that number and then ask to speak to anyone in Washington, D.C., your senators, your congressmen, etc. So if you're willing to make a free call, even to your own elected representatives, and tell them that they should oppose what's happening in California because you don't want it to happen to you where you are,
right,
that would be great, too.
Okay, we will do that.
Just the prospect of this is really scary.
Now, Barbara Boxer and Feinstein, she's so bought and sold, it's unbelievable. I mean, she has been notorious.
She's notorious for voting with the Republicans,
mm-hmm.
And she has good speeches here, but then she's beginning to vote more and more with the right wing.
I was surprised at Barbara Boxer, too, actually, but I don't know if that's...
She's not sliding as hard, but on this issue, she hasn't come here and said, no, we don't want testing on California. So, because she hasn't spoken up and said no,
does she even
office
know
has been notified. I'm really disappointed in her.
Yeah.
I'm really disappointed in our elected representatives because they don't seem to want to talk about this and hold a press conference and say no.
Right. Well, see, I hate to bring up conspiracy, but my God, you know, it sounds so blatant. You know, I mean, when you present them with this kind of information, and they just allow it to happen and do absolutely nothing, or what's best here's a prime example, Rosalind. How about when they just passed this $800 billion stimulus package and nobody read it?
That's right. You know, in other words, how can you pass a bill when you don't even read it and know what's in it?
Yeah.
Well, that's much like the Patriot Act. Under Bush, the same thing. They just
happening is that our elected officials don't even give the public or anyone else time to protest and say no. They just are railroading everything through.
Sure.
And then we're supposed to take it, and I'm saying no to that, too.
Oh, absolutely. it's a frightening thing. And, you know, the problem is that it happens so fast, just like what happened here with you on the 17th. You got on the 17th, and here it is, the 24th, all right? It hasn't even been it's just been about a week, and you know, finally, there's enough people out there, some people out there hearing about it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known. And I mean, I scanned just about everything for these programs, and had you not sent me that letter, I wouldn't have known anything about it.
What would be the process of putting a stop to it? Would it have to be through our senators and representatives would have to do something?
Oh, yes. They would have to speak up and say no. We can protest, but unless we get this environmental impact statement, in other words, final date postponed for public comment, mm-hmm. and unless we demand public hearing, see, they're doing a public hearing, but it's not even in a large city in Portland. They're
right.
going to do one on the 26th and in Oregon because they capitulated to do one more. However, they didn't put it in Portland, Salem, you know, any of the big cities, you know. They put it in these little towns so that people can't even get to them. So I'm having this one recorded.
Okay.
For sure. And then I'm going to hear what they have to say. And I'm also sending up a list of questions because, and people are going to hand out flyers. So there's going to be a protest in Oregon. Thank goodness for those Oregonians who protested and got that date set back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
But on the other hand, unless we can derail this, the people of the United States derail this, because those chemicals are going to blow on the ground, they're going to be in the air, they're going to be polluting water supplies, and not just in the states where they're doing this, but it's going to blow across, you know, into other states.
I don't want this done in this country, but I don't want it done to anybody else either.
Well, I'm not, you know what? You know, President Obama said he was going to back us out of the war. Well, I see more deaths, the death toll in Iraq going up. I see the death toll in Afghanistan going up. And you know what? They say, well, we're going to cut social programs back because there's no money. But you know what? He's not talking about how he's going to pay for the war.
Oh, no, no. In fact, he's hoping that he's going to end that war because half of his deficit, okay, which he's going to supposedly get rid of, okay, by his first term, by the end of his first term, will be because of the
he wants to escalate the war in Afghanistan. So
he's sending 17,000 more troops now to Afghanistan. And also, I just read, I think it was in the New York Times,
right.
that we've been waging a covert war by the CIA in Pakistan, and now he's authorized bombings in Pakistan.
He already did. Yeah, I mean.
Well, what difference does it make? I mean, if we send the drones over what difference does that make? That we're still doing bombing missions.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm against any kind of war.
He just authorized the death of, I don't know, was it 400 people in Pakistan? I mean,
mm-hmm.
because of the drones? I mean, it was supposedly an Al-Qaeda Taliban.
What are we winning over there? I mean, people talk about what we're going to win, and I go, well, no one's defined to me what we're winning.
The only thing we're winning, Rosalyn, is the Caspian oil pipeline. That's what they're trying to do, and because of the presence of the Taliban, and that strong presence there, it's jeopardizing jeopardizing Halliburton's and Dick Cheney's oil pipeline.
Well, why don't we just say that we're in it for the oil and quit lying about why we're doing this?
Guess what? You know what was amazing to me? This is totally amazing to me. The other day on mainstream television, and I believe it was on one of the network news, one of the major news programs, they said, the anchor said, and I think it was Brian Williams, and I'm not certain, but he said, you know, everybody knows we went there for the oil. We were there, we went to Iraq and Afghanistan for the oil, and we went to Afghanistan for the pipeline. And this was stated by one of the mainstream anchors. So it's like, you know, I'm going, well, if this is so well known, and we said this right before the war started,
mm-hmm.
all right, we knew what it was for,
mm-hmm.
all right, but nobody would say that. Everybody
wouldn't say that. They only say it now because Bush
it's
is
so
out
obvious.
Of office, and
yeah.
they're not afraid of what he might do.
That's right. That's absolutely right. But it was just amazing to me that I heard it come out of the mouth of one of the mainstream news guys who, you know, wouldn't say, you know, has never said anything other than, oh, dear, what a lovely dog, you know what I mean? So, you know, or what a nice circus act. But this is what's happening now. And they're just making it, oh, it's matter of fact. It's almost like matter of fact. Everybody knows we went there for the oil, you know?
They knew that we did.
Yeah, of course they did. My God, no, my
that
name.
Brian Williams or whoever was going to say to the American people that we were going there for the oil.
Everybody knows we went there for the oil.
we went there to steal the natural resources of another country.
And to try to set up. See, the thing that bothers me about this Iraqi issue is that they're still trying to set up, they wanted to set up a permanent base there. They still got
a
$3 billion embassy there. That's not even finished.
Well, yeah, but see, the base is probably going to be the embassy at some point.
Well, more or less. But
more or less.
Yeah, but at the same time, McCain wanted to be there 100 years. You know, so did the Defense Department. In fact, Petraeus just convinced Obama. Is trying to convince Obama to forget about the 16-month withdrawal.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, and so.
Well, he supported all of that.
What?
Obama.
Supported what?
The extension of troops and,
His promises were we're going to be out of there in 16 weeks, 16 months.
Yeah,
but it's a joke, and we all knew it. But
going out, Obama's going to be the next war president, and that he's going to keep the war going. So, you know, we have to hold his feet to the fire on this issue as well and say, look, we're not going to stand around. In other words, we're saying bring the troops home. And we have to go back on the offensive here because you can tell just from Obama's actions that he's putting into place a lot of the Bush people.
Right.
So, and right-wingers and different people.
Sure. She's got all the name.
The policies aren't going to change. He talks about hope and all this, and then but he lied to the people because he was going to do some things that he's not going to do. And to escalate the war and covert wars and all of this and the money for it. I mean, with this policy of the Navy.
Yeah, now he's authorized.
Now he's authorized, and you know what? He's the commander in chief.
Right.
And this Navy program and Department of Defense program isn't run without some authority somewhere.
And he's got to be signing off on this thing.
That's right.
So, you know,
and so we're going to have you see, this is going to war on the people of the United States, and this is going to war on our natural resources, and it's going to have health impacts because these chemicals are toxic.
Right.
And it was kind of odd, but one of the statements in this huge document to read, but it's interesting, is that they said, well, you know, California and these other states already have some pollution issues, so adding a little more won't matter.
Good Lord.
And I go, well, wait a minute. It may not matter to you, but it certainly matters to me. And, if you read this in environmental impact statement, they tell you all these awful things. And then they say, well, it's negligible. You know, we can mitigate it. Everything will be wonderful.
I thought,
you can't mitigate bomb blasts. I'm sorry, and the damage they do. You can't mitigate water pollution you're causing.
No, I mean, I think about what what Ward Churchill said. Unfortunately, he directed it at the wrong people, but I mean, you're talking, you know, little Eichmanns are the guys who write these impact statements. Little Eichmann, little genociders, you know, are the ones that write this stuff, you know, and direct these programs, because that's exactly what they're planning to do. They're planning to wipe out four states, for crying out loud.
Well, if they're not going to wipe them out, they're going to pollute them for sure.
Well, they're going to cause
millions of people.
They're going to cause enormous suffering.
To advance warfare technology, and then when we go to the hospitals, they're going to say, oh, well, this test caused this, and this test caused that.
Yeah, did you ever wonder? I mean, you must wonder more than anyone because you do so much research on it, but I mean, I've always wondered what kind of people, and they're not even people. These people, these are creatures. These are aliens. These are. You know, the people that direct these kinds of programs.
They're soulless.
I think I might be able to answer that.
Okay.
There was a man who's high up in the Air Force, and he wrote this long dissertation and long paper on using the weather as a force multiplier in future wars. And it was a really interesting article that he wrote. And he goes through and he takes all this time and he writes about all the things that they could do, you know, as a weapon against other countries and all these things. But what fascinated me more about him at the time when I read it is that here he is, a military officer, you know, in the Air Force and pilot, and, you know, has all these, you know, he probably, if you saw him with his chest full of medals or something, But anyway, what he did is he said, well, now, he says, I'm really glad this is over. You know, the exercise of writing this and saying all these things is over, because now I can go home and spend more time with my kids and my children. And what he didn't realize and what he didn't understand is that they're not safe from this. He is expendable, too.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they will take his work and they will use it on other people and they will use it for whatever purposes. But you see, he's expendable and his children are expendable.
But it's
and they think that they live in
right.
some isolated, perfect world in which nothing will ever touch them. And when I read this, I was absolutely appalled at what he was going to thinking of doing to somebody else. But would go home and think that he could be isolated from it and that he was protecting his kids and that they wouldn't experience this. And I thought, gee, you know, they're doing experimental, you know, weather modification in the United States. Doesn't he think this affects him and his food supply?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it was just like, I think that what they think is they think, I think some people are only told what's going on a need-to-know basis. Those that know don't care, because you see the test is more important and their goal of finding out how these tests works and what the implications are than actually the people are considered expendable.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
as long as it's not them.
Yeah.
That's what they
yeah.
think.
Well,
but what they don't realize is they didn't really pay attention to their fairy tales and nursery rhymes, because, you know, you don't kill the goose that lays the golden egg.
Well,
and that's basically what we're doing in this country environmentally.
Okay.
I mean, we're killing and poisoning what we need to live on, our air, our earth, our water.
A major person that I interviewed, oh God, probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, was a major Doug Rocky.
I don't know if you're
familiar with him, but he was one of the first weapons inspectors, and he was also a medical officer in the First World War, the First Gulf War,
mm-hmm.
and he was responsible for the detonation and destruction of all of these weapons in Iraq prior to 2003, prior to the invasion. And he stated that, you know, he was responsible for all of this stuff, all of this radiation, depleted uranium,
mm-hmm.
everything, and the detonation and getting rid of this stuff and blowing it up and doing whatever. And then he finds out, oh my God, I'm sick.
He got sick.
And so did everybody on his crew, and so did everybody else. Okay, they got the Gulf War syndrome.
Right.
And he went before the Navy, he went before the Army, he went before Congress, and he said, we got this disease. We've been exposed to all of this stuff. This is what the problem is. And they said, get out of here. You know, you got post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yeah.
And they sent him home, and they denied him the benefits. They denied him, they still to this day refuse to accept the depleted uranium or any of these chemical weapons were
causing cancer.
Yeah, caused these debilitating diseases.
Sure.
And that's what we're dealing with. I mean, the people that were doing this suddenly realized, oh my God, you know,
it's affecting me too.
It's now I've got it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when we did. I was little when they were doing, you know, talking about the above ground testing.
Right.
In the Nevada test site, and we had to get them to stop doing it because sheep were dying and people were dying and getting
right.
cancers and all of this.
Sure.
And we finally, you know, the American people finally put their foot down, and it, you know, and that was brought to an end. But they were testing nuclear weapons above ground, and those big plumes were coming up. I have old pictures and books.
Well, didn't you see these movies, the videos, where they had all these guys come out with sunglasses on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were getting blasted by radiation and, you know, and going, wow, you know, like they were watching fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, you would think that if you're looking at a nuclear blast, you wouldn't want to be standing there with sunglasses on. You kind of want to be way
protected.
Deep down in a bunker somewhere, you know?
Yes, but all those that
yeah.
were working on it knew were covered up, and all those, the soldiers were told to stay out there.
That's right.
During
That's
those right. blasts, and they weren't told that it was dangerous. So
right.
the American people have been systematically lied to for a long time.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But on this one, I have decided to draw a line in the sand on this one. I mean, really draw a line in the sand here and say, look, we're not going down without a fight here. And I'm just hoping that everyone that's within, you know,
ear range, yeah.
And everyone will, you know, will join and take action for, you know, in other words, a couple of weeks here and really go after this because, you know what, one day someone else may need help. And, you know, those that rise up and help, I mean, I'm willing to come to their aid
right.
if they need help.
I mean, it may be Connecticut, it may be New York, it may be Massachusetts,
sure.
you know, next, all right, if it's not already.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't even know about it. So it's like, I don't know. God bless you, Rosalind, because I tell you, you've woken up a lot of people on this, and hopefully we'll do as what we can and we'll wake up more people. So, and try to get. I'm trying to wake up my brother in Idaho, for crying out loud. He doesn't know. Yeah. What? You know.
He won't believe it.
He didn't even know what a chemtrail was, or you know.
You got
look up in the air.
Well,
right there.
Send him a copy of what the military plans for Idaho, and then.
I'm going to do that absolutely, and I already sent him. I already forwarded him that your letter there. So, but I hopefully I'll definitely get that link for him, and.
I hope that your listeners will respond to the public comment because anybody can comment within the public comment.
Yeah.
And you know, if we mob them with public comments, it may take them a while to have to put that all in their booklet because they are supposed to respond to those. So demand hearings, demand an extension of the date.
We will.
Where it's public comment, and if you have any questions, please feel free to call me at 707-485-7520. My website is californiaskywatch.com, and my email address is info@californiaskywatch.com, and I implore you to take action.
All right.
Well, I hope people do, Anna, but I know you will. And keep us posted on what's happening with this,
yes,
Rosalind.
Please. And we'll keep announcing it here.
And we'll keep supporting
your
effort.
We'll call that number and we'll write and do what we can to try to make a stink out of this.
And thank you very much for bringing this up and for taking the lead.
Yeah.
We need people like
really
doing these things to help keep
us safe. And thank you for having me on your show. It's a great honor whenever you ask me to be on.
So,
I appreciate it.
Well,
thank
you.
We'll
have you on more often. We'll definitely make sure of that.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you.
And have a pleasant evening. Good night.
Good night, Rosalind. That was Rosalind Peterson talking to us from California about the United States Navy and what they intend to do with their Northwest Training Complex in the state of Washington.
Yeah, the reason we had to break away from Rosalind because she had another interview she was doing at 9 o'clock.
And I know she wants to get
6 o'clock her time, and I believe she's got another one after that.
Boy, she's a busy lady.
She's just trying to get the word out to as many people as possible. And again, you can contact Rosalind by, she gave her number out, so 707-485-7520. You can go to her website, which is californiaskywatch.com, and I'll tell you, it's worth going out. If you don't know what a chemtrail is, it's right there. And if you don't know what's happening, look it up. We'll definitely be looking up
that environmental impact study.
Yeah. Try to in the next few days to try to read it, but I want to thank her definitely for being with us. And as a reminder, the last time, the poor woman, the last time she was on our show, she was here in Connecticut, and with the show that she was scheduled to be on, we called her up and she wasn't available for some reason.
And we couldn't understand why we couldn't get a hold of her.
And the next day, she's out of the hospital.
She called and said, I was in the hospital.
She broke her knee. She fell down a flight of stairs and broke her leg.
And she couldn't get to us.
Thank God, she was in an emergency room and everything, and it was like, I think she was like half an hour before showtime.
Yeah, and they'd given her an injection.
And
poor woman.
So anyway, that's she's a real.
But she didn't let it deter her from her efforts. She had more surgery when she went back to California.
And she just says she's about 98% recovered. So that's wonderful.
So that didn't impact her ability to.
Talk
about these things.
It's people like Rosalind that. You know, that inspire the hell out of me and keep us here at night on this show and keep coming every week. And we're going to be celebrating next week, by the way. I want to mention we're going to be celebrating our 6th anniversary. All right. Is it next week? Yeah, next week, it's March 3rd. And we're going to be celebrating our 6th anniversary on the air, and we're going to have a special guest is Andrew Goss. He's an economist and gold trader.
Yeah, he was and one of the first people we had on our show. We had him early on.
Early on, we had him on. He explained the Social Security system and everything.
Yeah,
else,
a lot of things we didn't understand.
Made us realize that we were totally and absolutely duped in the Federal Reserve and everything else. But today, fortunately, we're going to have a 45-minute interview with him on next Tuesday night, where he's going to explain this stimulus
package
and bailout, what's going on with the bailouts, what's going on.
What it really means, or doesn't mean.
This guy, Andrew Goss, is actually gives classes to Congress, all right, to the freshman congressman and so on, to explain to them what the Federal Reserve System is and what the monetary system is and all of that. And he said here on the show, I says, do they get it? He says, no, a lot of them it's just blank. He says, they really still don't get it. And he says, that's the nature of this beast. It's designed to, confound you. Exactly. So, hopefully, next week we'll have a great anniversary. I think John will be back too, I hope.
Hopefully, yeah.
So we'll have an update on his vacation. But we will have Andrew Goss next week, who will be explaining the system.
Okay. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Please tune in next week, next Wednesday night. We'll have the interview with Andrew Goss, the economist, who will be talking about the nightmare of the bailout and stimulus package. And hopefully you'll join us then. That'll be next Wednesday night. In the meantime, Thursday night, tomorrow night, please join us. I'll be talking a little more about the about ascension consciousness some of the works of John Vello, Melchizedek, and other contemporaries, and we will be headed that way, and also on Friday night, George Dixon will be joining us, and of course we may be discussing more of this, more of the Merkabah, but I think we'll also be discussing the Mayan calendar, and he'll bring us up to date on that. So we have an exciting week ahead, a couple really good shows coming up, and also, you can also please join, you can get this show and others on our archives. So thank you so much for listening tonight. I hope you enjoyed this interview by Rosalind Peterson. And please, if you can, if you live in, especially if you live in California or Oregon, Washington, or Idaho, and anywhere near along the Pacific Ocean, please notify your senators, notify your congressmen, notify the president's office, notify anybody that you can of any official, notify your town's mayors, get them involved. Show them a copy. Go to Rosalind's website, californiaskywatch.com. Check it out. It's well worth the effort. And, please, if you're living in those states, get involved and get a public hearing, get a protest going, get something going, because your states are earmarked for, weapons testing, biological as well as explosive weapons testing sites on the human population there. So, I don't mean to alarm you, but I do mean to alarm you, and please don't panic, but please just notify who you can and what you can. And again, go to her, go to Rosalind's website, and that's californiaskywatch.com, and you can also reach her phone number is 707-485-7520. That's her phone number. You can reach her there and talk to her. You can tell her that you heard about it on the Ellie Steele Show. You may ask her what to do there. She'll give you all the information you need. Also, you can email Eileen at info@CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. Okay, again, that's, you can email her at info@CaliforniaSkyWatch.com, and you can call her at 707-485-7520, and she will fill you in on the details. And especially, now this is anywhere in the country, but especially in the states that are being affected, which is California, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. So please do that, and you know, protect yourself. So I want to thank everybody for joining us, and please join us tomorrow night. And good night.